Good morning, everybody. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? Today we'll be reading the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. It says this: "These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all of this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. This past weekend, my wife and daughter and I, we watched a movie called Soul. It's Pixar's new movie, and it's fantastic. I loved this movie. And in this movie, the main character, he has a dream. He wants to be this amazing jazz pianist, right? He wants to travel the world playing. He wants to play, you know, these huge shows with other famous jazz musicians, right? That's his dream. That's his goal. It's everything he wants for his life. And as you go through the movie, you see that he comes to a place where he believes that his life is meaningless because he has not achieved this dream. He thinks that this goal he set for himself, that it's his purpose on earth, and he hasn't met it yet. And so because he hasn't met it, he hasn't fulfilled his purpose. He's left, you know, wanting. He's not satisfied. He's not content. And he actually becomes obsessive about it to the point where he misses everything else in life. And eventually, it gets to a point in the movie where he does achieve this dream. He does get to play this grand show with this famous musician, and he loves it. But when it's over, he asks the musician, he says, so what's next? And she tells him, well, we'll come back and we'll play tomorrow and then the next night and the next night and the next night and the next. And this dread comes over his face. And in that moment, he realizes that even though he's achieved his dream, he's achieved what he thought his purpose is, he's not fulfilled. He's not satisfied. He's trapped in this cycle. And as long as he's in that cycle, he doesn't feel like he's actually achieving his purpose in life. The teacher here in Ecclesiastes is in the same position when we meet him at the beginning of the book. He says, you know, meaningless, meaningless, vanity, vanity. And he describes this cycle of decay. And I'll refresh you. I'll read verses 3 through 11 here again. He says, what do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. The teacher describes this cycle that he's trapped in. Not just him, but the entire earth. How it's born into our DNA, into everything in existence. He looks at the sun, how the sun rises and the sun sets, and then the sun rises and then the sun sets, and the sun rises and the sun sets. The wind blows north, and then it blows south, and then it blows north, and then it blows south. The water runs into the ocean and comes out, and then goes in and comes out. And he says, you and I, we work and we work, and then we work and we work. And we think we achieve something, we think we create something new. We don't, and we die, and a new generation comes and goes, and then another generation, and another generation, and another generation, all with their own achievements, all with their own dissatisfaction and unfulfillment. It's a cycle that the teacher's caught in, that the whole earth is caught in. But it's not just this like cycle like this. It's actually a spiral. Because we don't stay the same as we go throughout our life. We decay. As we grow older, our bodies become weaker. We know that this world, our environment, it is decaying. That nothing in this existence will last forever. That we are on a path headed for death. And the Bible is very upfront about this. You can see it on page 3 in the fall. When Adam and Eve sin and God curses Adam, he says, from dust you were made, and to dust you will return. Right on page 3 of the Bible, God starts the cycle of decay within humanity. From dust we are made, and to dust we will return. And the teacher sees this. He looks out of the world. He kind of escapes his current circumstances, and he can see the universe, and he sees that it is caught in the cycle of decay, and it fills him with dread. And he feels purposeless. He feels unfulfilled. And he feels trapped. And he does everything he can to try to escape it, but he can't. He can't. He tries pleasure. He's the king, right? He can get anything that he wants, and he tries to experience every pleasure that he can think of, but yet it still finds him wanting. He's not satisfied. He's not preserved. Then he tries work. He tries building things, making grand achievements and accomplishments, but nothing satisfies. And he knows that there will be a day where all of his achievements eventually crumble, and he will be forgotten. He tries accumulating power, but that does nothing. He tries accumulating wealth, and that does nothing. And as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he takes you on this journey of everything that he's tried, and none of it works. It only leads to death. But Ecclesiastes doesn't stop there. The teacher actually does arrive at a purpose. He does say how we should live. In chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, he said, I decided that there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? Right, the teacher says that even though I'm caught in the cycle of decay, there's still a purpose here. There's still a satisfaction. And he says that purpose and that satisfaction is to live, is to look at your life and see how every moment, every second is a gift from God. He says to eat and drink, enjoy a wonderful meal. Drink a tall glass of wine. Work hard and enjoy what you've accomplished, recognizing that these are all gifts from God. It's a gift given to you, and it is precious and it is sacred. Every second of this existence is divine because it comes from the divine. In the movie Soul, this is what the main character eventually learns, that his purpose and his meaning, his satisfaction, is not found in making this grand achievement, but in seeing the wonder and beauty of the mundane, of the ordinary things in life, how every second, every meal, every breath is a gift from God. It's from His hand. And you and I, we are in the hand of God. You did not bear yourself as a baby. You did not give birth to yourself. You did not raise yourself and make you who you are. You are from another. And we as Christians believe that we were made by God, that God made this universe. He made this earth, and He made humanity up out of the dust. We come to God, and sometimes we demand things from Him. We demand that our lives be better. We raise our fist and say, God, why haven't you given us this? Why haven't you given us that? Why must I feel pain and experience tragedy? And in that moment, we fail to remember that everything we have is a gift in the first place. The person who has everything is rarely grateful for gifts they receive, but the person who has nothing treasures it well. For they recognize that everything they have is from another. If you and I are to be fulfilled and satisfied in this life, we must come to the place where we see that our life, every moment, every second, every day, every year, regardless of what happens, it is a gift from God. Every meal you eat is a gift from God. Every day you go to work, it is a gift from God. And when we live and we eat and we work through the filter of recognizing that these are all gifts from God, instead of feeling unfulfilled about the things we do not have, we begin to be satisfied with the gifts that God has given us. We need to remember that our lives are held in the hand of God. In his album, The Human Condition, John Bellion tells this story of how he's accumulated everything, right? He has all this wealth. He's had all this pleasure. And he says it's nothing. It's only brought him dissatisfaction and failure and sin. And at the end of the album, he comes to this place where even though he's at a funeral, he remembers that his life is held in the hand of God. And that's the only place he can find peace and rest. And it's the only place where you and I can find peace and rest and real fulfillment in this life. This life is a gift. And it's to be cherished and held on to. Not to be thrown away. Not to be thrown away because we haven't achieved the thing that we want to achieve, because we look at someone else and think they are living a better life, or because we've experienced pain and tragedy. Every second of this life is a gift from the hand of God. And that's where the movie Soul ends. I really hope you haven't watched this movie yet, but you were like, man, Sunday evening, I'm going to watch this movie, and I'm just ruining it all. But the very final lines of the movie, as a character asks the main character, what are you going to do with your second chance at life? The main character says, I don't know, but I'm going to live every second of it. He's learned that every second is precious, that it's a gift, and it's a wonderful and a beautiful ending. But the problem is that we watch it, we see it, we think that it's beautiful because there's a beauty in it, but even that ultimately does not satisfy us. In chapter 3, The teacher says that God has placed eternity into our hearts. Meaning that when you and I came into this existence, we did not enter into existence merely as mortal beings, but that we have a connection to eternity. There is something inside of us, something innate that connects us beyond this life. We know it, and we feel it, and we crave it. And that is why death is such a tragedy. Because even when we do our best to be grateful and to see that every second of this life is a gift, we cannot get it out of our heads that there's still an end. We're still trapped in this cycle of decay, that we will die. Lazarus was given the gift of a second life, right? He was raised from the dead. But he still died. The people who Jesus healed of leprosy still died. The lame and the blind he healed still died. There's still an end. And we're not satisfied with that. We know in our hearts and in our souls that there is something wrong with an end for humanity. We know that God made us for more. And that is why Jesus comes. Jesus came to break the cycle of decay. He lived and died and rose again. But unlike Lazarus, he did not die again, for he ascended. And he said, I will return. And when I return, this world will fade away. The heavens and the earth, they will fade away. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we read that our bodies, yes, will fade away. But we will be given new bodies that are eternal, that will live forever. 2 weeks ago, we sang this song, Wait For You. And the lyrics of the song say, there will be a day when we are united as one, together in a city made of pure gold, and we will be with our God. There will no longer be any need for a sun, any need for food, because God is there. He is all we need. He's all we need. And instead of living in a cycle of decay, this new eternity, we will live in a cycle of life where we will live and we will work and we will play and we will glorify God in every second of it. Because he made us for himself and he made us to live a vibrant and full life, free from sin, free from decay, free from death for all of eternity. This is the good news of Jesus, that he has come to break the cycle of decay and bring restoration to our very souls. That our fate does not simply end in death, but it ends in life and a universal restoration for the entire world. That when we look out into the world and we see violence and hatred and envy and pain, we will see no more of it. For he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That is the beauty of the good news of Jesus. And as Christians, that is what we hope and long for. And we go throughout our lives, we live every day doing two things. We recognize that every second, every moment of this life is precious and it is sacred because it is a gift from God. But we also look to the future. We see that eternity. We hope for it. We have faith in it. We long for it. And we recognize that everything in this life is a shadow pointing to what that new life will be like. And so we are grateful and we are longing. Both of those things are found in Christ. And in both of those things, we are fully satisfied and fulfilled. We have achieved our purpose as human beings to be the image of God. When we can live our lives in such a way that every moment of every day is fixed on our Creator and we reflect Him, then we are truly doing what He made us to do. And sometimes that is hard. Sometimes it is difficult because of our sin and the pain around us, because we are in this cycle of decay right now. But Christ has come. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. And that breathes purpose into our bones. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we love you. And we thank you. You are a good God. You have given us so much. Do not let us miss that. But God, let us come to you, to turn to you, to fix our eyes on you, to see what you have done, to see what you're doing right now, and to hope and long for what you will do in the future. You are a great God. So let us come to you with a heart full of worship, glorifying you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.